Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I think when Fields goes back in to start the portion of this where they're going to boot, he just, again, stands there and takes the snap thrown to him.
So, by the way, one of ESPN's biggest insiders retired to go become a GM of an Atlantic 10 basketball team today. That is a true story with Adrian Wojnarowski. I'm not going to get into all of the minutia of that.
By the way, he did not take an under center snap. I'm watching it
again.
Okay,
thank you.
He took two shotgun snaps, which is also relevant.
Yes, it is. And so one of the biggest ESPN insiders is now doing other work.
Got to bring back the shorts that are the length of pants to St. Bonaventure's basketball.
Our buddy Jeremy Fowler used to cover the Steelers, is still technically an NFL insider there. And he does this column every Tuesday with another, or every Wednesday with another insider, where they bat around what they're hearing on the biggest topics in the NFL. And the number one question under the heading of NFL Week 3 Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, bzzz.
What are you hearing on the Steelers quarterback situation? I assume, because Jeremy worked here, that he is fairly good sources when it comes to the Steelers. He lived in Pittsburgh. He would go to Latrobe. He covered them for a number of years before he left and Brooke Pryor took his spot. Now he covers the whole league. And this is what he says about Russell Wilson. Based on the talks I've had with people inside and outside of the organization, my sense is that Russell Wilson's stronger command of the offense will give him another shot once ready.
Okay, there's two words in that sentence that I find to be containing a whole lot. Once ready. When exactly? When?
Yeah, based on this video, I don't think that it's anytime soon. Dulac's report was after the Chargers game, Russell Wilson would look to be 100% and could be cleared in time for that game. They are giving, based on what this video shows, he is taking baby steps.
He's not doing anything that would even remotely look like the... I mean, you might have two plays in an entire game where you would go at the speed.
So Jeff is
going
to join us at 5:15. Jeff's there. I see no progress based on what they're asking or demanding out of him in practice now as opposed to where he was at last week. It seems like it's a static situation. If he's improved, they're not asking him to do more to show his calf healing powers in these practice drills. None whatsoever. But I mean, what you also cannot ignore from at least Jeremy's reporting is that he thinks, based on what he's hearing, that when he does get the thumbs up, and it will likely take longer than the Steelers initially thought and what they led us to believe, but when that day comes, he will get the job because of stronger command of the offense is such a, like, so what they're saying is he knows more.
Well, it sounds like they're implicitly saying that the playbook is shrunk because Fields doesn't have as good of command of the offense, so they're running from a limited arsenal.
Yes, I agree with that. So they've dumbed it down.
They've simplified
Justin Fields.
It.
They've simplified it, right.
For a guy who has had a problem reading defenses, which I think would make you feel like he doesn't trust what he sees.
Do you need a big playbook to be a successful offense? I don't think so.
I mean, McVay's offense famously runs like seven plays. They just run them from the different looks.
It's like the Tecmo Bowl playbook.
That's always been the rub about the McVay offense. There are actually very few truly unique plays. They just change up the look that they run them from.
If simple works, I don't need to make it more complicated just for, if I'm Arthur Smith, I shouldn't feel this way, just for my own personal glory. Who cares how many plays we have to run? If we're scoring points and we're winning games, I don't need to have 100 more plays or nuance or sophistication in there in order for it to work. I mean, it's also very Russell Wilson for that information to get out there to Jeremy, like, hey, just remember this guy, his football IQ is so high. The Steelers are able to do a lot more once he goes in.
You know, assuming his body ever actually heals. You know, the guy Dan Graziano, who does this column with Fowler, did make a good point as they're debating all this. And basically, they just said, what would give the Steelers the idea, like, that the idea that the passing game hasn't been very opened up yet, what would give the Steelers the idea that Wilson's going to open up the middle of the field? It's been a weakness of his as well, even when he was at the top of his game, which is true.
He threw to the middle of the field last year, another stat that is kept and charted. Wilson threw the ball to the middle of the field 13% of the time last year.
He was a check down guy. He was either a deep ball or check down guy.
Which I think was in the bottom five of NFL quarterbacks in 2023. So he did not want to do it in Denver the same way Kenny Pickett didn't want to do it in the Steelers offense, probably because of Mike Tomlin. And I'm guessing if Russell Wilson didn't want to throw to the middle of the field on his own, and Tomlin really does not like a lot of throws to the middle of the field, then when you put Russell Wilson in there, guess what? You're not going to get a lot of throws to the middle of the field.
We're talking about this, and I think it's obviously, I love it because it's an interesting just dynamic that's playing out here. But on a macro level, haven't we suffered enough with this kind of offense? The old Beano Cookism. Haven't we suffered enough? How many years has it been since you felt like, I mean,
three.
We're going on
it's been three.
No, when Ben was at the end here, I'm not going to disrespect how good he was in his prime.
I thought you meant how many years have we been having like a quarterback controversy where we're juggling multiple guys?
No, yeah, we've been doing that, but that's years. When Mike's had like the reins firmly in his hands and he has been neutering, I think, any chance they would have of opening up a passing game. Not that I think, you know, the guys the last 2 years are that good, but even Ben's last year or year plus.
Ever since his elbow was blown out, Chris,
yeah, we've even
done
in 2020,
this.
It's just been dink and dunk in this. It does suck on the level of being a fan that you're watching the same stuff year after year for basically half a decade now in their offense. They're going to dumb it down. It's going to be very reductive. It's never going to feel like something that's fun to watch. And they're going to cross their fingers and hope that it's enough.
Well, what Jeremy is saying is in order to take it to the next level, people inside that building think they need to put Russell Wilson in.
I think that Russell Wilson objectively is more accurate than Justin Fields. And probably just in terms of touch, throws a better deep pass, although Fields throws laser beams. Russell Wilson throws big, high-arcing rainbows that drop in the bucket with regularity. That's still not like a mature... What did Starkey call it last year? A mature passing game he wanted to see the Steelers have? A mature offense? That's not a mature passing game. That is still stuck with the same limitations that it's stuck with right now. They can say it's going to be different. They think it'll be different. I don't see how it'll be appreciably better other than maybe a more accurate player who is ever so slightly more decisive in the pocket. Something that, by the way, Pony, is nullified by the fact that even on his best day now, he can't move close to as well as the guy that's in there at the moment.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Still looking to give away that $50 PINS gift card to a caller if you want to get in queue, 412-928-9370, and talk about the Steelers quarterbacks with us. Russell Wilson did not look good at practice today, so looks like he's still a ways off. Reporting from ESPN that Wilson will get the job back when he's healthy, because the Steelers think that Wilson has a stronger command of the offense, meaning they think he can take the offense to the next level because he knows more and can do more in it. 412-928-9370 if you want to put your two cents in on that.
I just can't quickly, I know we got other stuff to get to. I can't get over what a shot that actually is at Fields.
Yeah. Well, look at the stuff Dulac puts out in his mailbag.
I'm wondering if there's almost been like a weird personal interaction there, because you never hear anything bad about Fields with the media or teammates. Jerry destroys the guy every chance he gets.
He poo-poos everything he does.
Yes.
There's just an absurd amount of poo-pooing going on there.
If Jerry actually had his druthers, Mason Rudolph would be this team's starting quarterback.
Agreed.
Right now.
Maybe our listeners say the same thing. 412-928-9370. Are you poo-pooing what Justin Fields is doing with the Steelers? PIAA, they have made girls flag football a varsity sport. How about that?
I think that's cool.
You know what I think? I think before I'm dead,
I
think flag football is going to be the actual football.
The NFL will be the national. It'll be the NFFL.
I think flag football will replace tackle football. And I don't say that like as an alarmist or one of these people that's like going to like get up on a soapbox here and give you a speech about the safety of tackle football.
Mm-hmm.
But just the way it seems to be going. We've got flag football now in the Olympics. We've got, you know, gradually the rules changing and the NFL getting more and more concerned about the head injuries. We've got guys like James Daniels wearing Guardian caps, things like that. And I just feel like there's just a massive push to make that maybe someday soon the...
Define soon.
Well, before I'm dead. So I hope
that's not soon.
I hope I get another 80 years.
Another 80 years, you'll be 120.
The scientists say someone's on Earth who's going to live till 200.
Which doesn't sound fun, let's be honest.
Well, that's a lot of football seasons.
You want to live to a buck 20.
That's a lot of sports.
All the gambling you could do. You're running fantasy leagues, like, you know, with other, centenarians? I don't think it'll ever replace regular football, by the way. No, I think the Guardian caps. Donnie, we add another name to the list at a macho position. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, a JOK, wore one last week. Really?
Yeah.
I think he's actually a pretty decent player. He wore one, though.
Is Devin Bush starting there, or they buried him on the bench?
I think they buried him. But JOK wore one for the Browns in their game this past week. I have made that prediction. It won't be like a massive groundswell.
You think Tua's going to wear one? I don't.
Tua should just have to wear a red non-contact jersey, and if he gets touched with two hands, he's down. You're not allowed to hit him, but if you can put two hands on him, he's down. It's just a sack.
Just another comment on mortality that was made by a friend of mine
in the last
few months.
Yeah,
and
sure.
This comment did strike a chord with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said?
Mm.
He's like, man, I'd hate to die in the middle of a great Steelers season.
Was that friend Donnie?
And I'm like, you know what? That's actually a great point. It is.
Wait a minute, don't you think your family
get to see it out?
If your family was a bunch of diehards, don't you think they'd credit you for like that season happening?
I know it's a morbid thought, but like now that I mention it, wouldn't that just suck? You'd like to see the whole thing. You'd like to see the whole season through.
The boys are back to like their mid-2000s glory.
What would happen?
Like, they're right on the doorstep here.
If we're gonna really
and you croak.
If we're gonna take this to the actual extreme, let me pose one more like morbid but comical thought. You're watching the Steelers. They are in the Super Bowl. They're winning by 4 touchdowns with 35 seconds left, and you are clapping and cheering at your house with your buddies, and then suddenly. Pain in the chest, and you're gone.
Okay, that I could deal with.
Because you feel like you've already seen the win.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if it's the AFC Championship game and I don't get to watch the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, I'm just dead.
Can you just imagine it's Boswell lining up for a 58-yarder to win it at the gun? The kick is off of his foot, and then it just, you go dark, and that's it? Get to the pearly gates. Did he make it? My brother did that to me, by the way, and not died, but my brother turned off the TV. He flipped the channels. He grabbed the remote. We were watching like Nebraska, Florida State, and I want to say the Orange Bowl maybe in 93 or something.
Okay.
Nebraska was kicking, I believe, to win the game. Whole family watching. You know I was a huge Nebraska mark back then. My brother just flips the channel, middle of the kick, pre-DVR, pre-everything.
Oof. That's
he
rough.
Got yelled at for it, which I thought was like a nice thing at 8 years old or whatever I was. He got actually scolded for that one.
Ray is in Clarion. He's on the Fan. Hello, Ray.
Ray,
can you take us off speakerphone?
All right.
Thank you. We want to be able to hear you. You probably have great things to say, but there was just loud noises being made in the background.
All right.
How about now?
I agree with you guys about the dink and dunk stuff. Why throw a 6-yard pass when you need 10 yards? It's you just don't go nowhere. And they got to open this game up for Fields a little bit. We got the receivers to do it. Why not let them do it?
We've got one receiver, Ray.
Well, you got a good tight end.
How good is he? Is he Travis Kelce though?
I don't think he has to be.
Sam LaPorta?
No, probably not. But still, we've done this exercise when the contract was up. I think he's above average as a pass catcher.
I know, but I think for somebody to say with confidence, hey, we've got two elite pass catching targets and one of them isn't a wide receiver, that tight end or running back had better be like all time great.
Tommy is next. Hello, Tommy. Tom? Thank you, Tom. Dan is next. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I just wanted to say, so here's my thought. I don't think the offense changes at all between Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. Not that it has nothing to do with the quarterback play, because I do think Russell Wilson is probably, in the end, a better quarterback. I just think that our receivers, we just don't have the receiving core for it. Another statement that I want to make is I don't understand the fascination or where it changed with the mobile quarterback obsession, because the guy with the most Super Bowl wins in football history is probably one of the most immobile quarterbacks ever.
Yes, so, Dan, I'm going to give you the $50 Pins gift card. You just wait there on hold. That's a Tomlin thing. Tomlin comes from a defensive side of the ball. He thinks it's harder to defend 11 guys than it is 10. And when the quarterback is a runner, now you have to account for everybody at all times.
How many high-level quarterbacks playing right now play the game the way Brady did? Stand in the pocket.
Joe Burrow.
Even he can move around considerably more than Brady.
I know, but he's mostly a pocket quarterback.
I understand that, but like Brady,
Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe now, but Aaron Rodgers was always a mobile guy. Aaron Rodgers absolutely had plenty of mobility. Brady, if you threw Brady off his spot...
Do you think he ever had more than 200 rushing yards in a season?
I'm going to say yes, actually.
For Rodgers?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Let's see here, Malzi.
Yes, are you on Football Reference?
He has actually 369 as his career high.
Ha! Huh. Brady was the exception to the rule, and he also was from a different era where he and Peyton Manning played that way, but like... Patrick Mahomes, I think, is going to supplant him as the best ever and is very close to doing it already. He's mobile. Josh Allen, mobile. Jalen Hurts, I'm not saying he's one of the best in the league right now, mobile. Stroud is more of a pocket guy, but he can still move around. You cannot really draft a statue who runs like a 5-plus 40-yard dash anymore, stick him back there, and hope it's going to work.
What do you think Burrow's career high in rushing yards is?
Probably like 180.
It's 257.
I mean, I've
seen
Brady,
but that's still not...
But I've seen Burrow against the Steelers like rip off some decent runs. What do you think Brady's career high in rushing yardage is?
It's got to be in the hundreds.
I'm going to look at it right now for you, Chalooch. Tom Brady rushing and receiving. Oh, man. He only topped 100 yards rushing three times ever.
Yeah.
And never after 2011.
He did it all from the pocket. But it's a good point by the caller, though. The greatest of the last, the greatest ever. And not someone who played in the 60s or 70s was a guy that couldn't run. Baker Mayfield's not a runner at all.
Again, but he has more ability to, like, he gave somebody the stanky leg in this game.
I know, Brady, I saw that, but he lives in the pocket, Chris. He does not really ever leave
it. I understand that, but he can move when needed. Brady's whole thing was he lived in the pocket because he literally could not do anything else outside of it.
3:30 on a Wednesday means it is time to talk to one of the most connected men in football, Mike Florio, and he is brought to you by Joe Patochnik and the team at JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, Russell Wilson, you heard what Mike Tomlin had to say about him yesterday, going through very, very, very light workouts today. Won't play against the Chargers. Who knows when he'll get back on the field? So I'm asking you, I guess, to start. Have you heard anything on the Russell Wilson return to play timeline?
No, I haven't. I mean, at a certain point, it's basically the old 100% rule that he'll return when he's 100% and it'll be 100% when Justin Fields is no longer winning games and the team needs a spark. We've seen that time and again. It goes by a bunch of different names. And listening to the way Tomlin explained it yesterday, I feel like that's what they're doing. They're going to let this play out with Fields. And if and when Fields hits a rough spot, they can bench him without benching him. It's the best of both worlds. They never benched him. He wasn't benched. QB1 is 100%, and that's all they did. So they just ride the hot hand indefinitely, and that's the smart thing to do. The challenge is keeping Russell Wilson from activating his personal media machine in the event that he knows he's ready to go and he's frustrated about not playing. That's the only downside to this, but I think they know how to handle him in a way that will keep him from trying to make his case through his PR representatives to reporters who would be pushing the agenda that, you know, why did he come here? He should be traded, whatever the case may be.
The weird thing is, Mike, like, what if there is no lag or there is no down period with Fields and maybe he doesn't play eye-popping football, but they start off 7-1 or something like that, which is not completely implausible if their defense is healthy. Like, you know what I mean? How deep do you go before you decide we just have to stick with them and it's not even a hot hand situation? Or is there no amount of depth into the season where this could go, where they might not still pull the plug if Fields falters a little?
You keep going until you feel like you need a boost. And when you do, it doesn't carry the same issues that benching your starter.
So even like 12 or 13 games in, if they feel like Fields after maybe he starts 7-1, they slide a little bit, they go 1-3 over their next four, you feel like they could actually pull the trigger on something like that late in the year?
Yeah. Oh, they could. They could. Now, the longer you go without the change being made, I think the more it takes to prompt the change, but they could definitely do it. And you know, this was the downside in Russell Wilson taking the league minimum $1.21 million for a player with his experience after he was cut by the Broncos, who owed him $38 million fully guaranteed. He stuck the Broncos with $36.8 million by taking the $1.2 minimum from Pittsburgh. Now the Steelers have a 12, 13-year veteran, won a Super Bowl, played in another one for $1.2 million. That's a great bargain for a backup, and they'll hold on to him. Hold on to him indefinitely because you never know when Fields is going to get hurt. He could either dip or he could get hurt. And, you know, you're going to hear, I believe, at some point speculation that he should be traded at the deadline. This team has a need. That team has a need. I think it'd be foolish for the Steelers to do it because you need to have somebody ready to go behind Fields. And with each passing week, Russell Wilson is closer and closer to being ready to go.
And I get that last part, that the Steelers would not want to do anything to diminish or hurt their depth at the sport's most important position, especially after what happened last year, playing three guys, and just look around the NFL, all the quarterbacks that played, Mike. But you mentioned the Russell Wilson media machine and his own personal mission this year to regain a spot as an NFL starting quarterback and as a franchise quarterback. And if he's just sitting collecting dust, That's not going to go over well with him. That's why this Miami thing that's been floated out there, the Steelers wouldn't want it. But what's stopping Russell Wilson, the longer he has to wait, Mike, from going to Omar Khan and saying, get me there. They need me. Please do that for me. Pretty please do that
for me. We want volunteers, not hostages.
Right, exactly. Mike Tomlin's established that precedent, Mike.
Well, and I think that's why they're doing things like giving him the petty game ball. You know, it's almost like I said this earlier today. If you work for a bank, they're not going to give you a raise. They'll just make you a vice president. They'll find another way to make you happy. So they'll find ways to make Russell Wilson happy that will get him to want to stay. But you're right. He needs to play this year to set himself up to be a starter somewhere next year. He's going to be 36 in November. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy, and there are very few Joe Flaccos in the world who were once upon a time the highest paid player in the NFL, who are now taking a paycheck wherever they can get one and holding a clipboard. I don't see Russ doing that. And his career, I think in many respects, hinges on his ability to play well enough this year that someone makes him a starter next year. So he's in a tough, tough spot.
And isn't there an argument that he has a better chance of doing that in Miami than here?
Oh, absolutely. Anywhere that he can play. If you can't play, you're never going to prove that you're good enough to play next year. So this is all about, I think, Mike Tomlin, who has done wonders over the years getting through to problem players. This isn't really a problem in the classic sense. He's got to get Russell Wilson to happily wait his turn and to trust that his turn will come, even if it never does.
Do you agree with some of the reporting that was done earlier today that cited people inside the building as essentially saying they think the passing game could bloom with Wilson as opposed to Fields, that maybe Fields just doesn't have the command of the offense that they felt Wilson had? Do you think that's viable based on what you know about Russ's kind of career?
I think that's why he was going to be the starter. It wasn't for his mobility. It was for his arm. When he made that throw on third and long against the Lions in as hostile an environment as you're ever going to see in the preseason to George Pickens, that was when he won the starting job. He has always had a beautiful deep ball, and when you have a running game that can set up play action, you can unleash that deep ball. Justin Fields' weakness has been his passing accuracy from when he airmailed that ball against the Bills in the preseason. I think that's the issue, and I think they're hoping he becomes a better passer because he fits the offense and what they're trying to do better over the long haul. Beyond the fact that he's significantly younger, he fits it better than Russell Wilson does. But yeah, the passing game could, I don't know that it would bloom, but it would be better. The deep ball passing game would, I think, potentially become more prevalent. And all you need is one of those a game that hits, and it changes everything. For a team that's got a defense like that, if you can uncork a 50-yarder, one a game, or a long pass interference penalty on a throw like that, hell yeah, that's good for your passing game. So, look, as long as you're winning, it's fine. As long as you're winning, it's fine. If you start losing, then you have a decision to make. But it's so much easier than if Fields had won the competition and was getting benched. This worked out perfectly. It was close. Russell's injured. You go with Fields. He gets the reps. You evaluate him for next year. And the moment it goes wobbly, you put Russ in. Best of both worlds for the Steelers.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Check him out Sunday night, Football Night in America, leading into Falcons and Chiefs. A much better game now that Atlanta showed what they were made of against the Eagles on Monday night. Mike, thanks again.
Indeed.
We'll talk on Wednesday. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.